This is Dr. Susan Kalb with Temple of Health Radio Show, and today we're pleased to have back Dr. Hildegard Staninger, who is the, the Director of Integrative Health Systems in L.A., and she has been a great help to me in understanding the toxicology of both Morgellons and, of course, silicone disease. We're here for a toxicology update, which I guess would include anything that Dr. Staninger feels that we need to know. The physicians right now know very little about toxicology, and this is to their detriment because there seems to be more and more diseases basically affecting us due to nanotechnology as well as chemical and plastic environmental contamination. Thanks for getting up a little bit early on a Saturday and joining us.
Thank you very much for having me on your show always. I enjoy it. Thank you.
Well, I wanted to relate to you something that happened to me and get your take on it, and then I wanted to give you a little bit of information that you may not have heard yet. The information is that there's been a number of cases, I think around 30, of lymphoma cells being found around textured breast implants, both silicone and saline, and that a committee has been formed with plastic surgeons, oncologists, epidemiologists, and the FDA. And you may want to contact that committee because I think you have knowledge that they probably don't have.
Okay.
So that's one bit of information. I think the texturing of the implant predisposes to something. It may be something that's in the process of the texturing, a chemical, or it may be something that is actually due to the, you know, due to the interaction of the biofilm in that area.
Right, and that's important. Dr. Kalb, in reference to the biofilm,
mm-hmm.
because as with all chemical poisonings, where it's from hazardous materials, illegal substances, medications, whatever,
mm-hmm.
when there's a carbon source there, that acts as a food for your bacteria within your own system. And
mm-hmm.
if you have a fungal infection or just yeast overgrowth, which is used in digestion of larger particles and the breakdown in the intestinal colon, you have an overgrowth. And in those organisms, it's only a matter of survival, just as with it is with your cells. And they will put microtubules like straws into each other and into
mm-hmm.
your tissue and take the nutrients off. And with the new texture, I'm not up to date on the new texture, but I will be after this show.
Great.
Because you know I work fast.
That's right, you do.
I'm known as grease lightning that way.
Yeah.
But the thing is, with new, I want to say new plastic materials, new
mm-hmm.
of any of these technologies, a lot of stuff that was in put into the bodies, whether it was screws or it was hip replacements or
mm-hmm.
any of these type of materials, they had a coating of Teflon or
right.
of silane. And this now, also with the use of nanotechnology as being in particles or tubes or any of this, so that it can give additional strength or dexterity
mm-hmm.
or anything. But what I have found as a little update, but may be involved with what you're describing on this new committee, is because of the cancer implementation, one is the viruses that you have in your body that could
mm-hmm.
predispose you. And then the other is contaminations, as you know, is brought out. I did a paper on it last summer for the National Registry of Environmental Professionals after aerial spraying, where an individual got positive titers 1, 2, and 3, 1 to 128, never had a polio vaccine, but had positive titers for a polio vaccine. And it was for the titer also picked up on HLA gene testing, which was looking at subunits, which were antibodies to it, not to it, but meaning attached to it as an identifier, and it had SV45, which is the 45th mutation of the simian virus. And a beautiful book that was written by Edward Halsam, Dr. Mary's monkey, was right on target.
Right.
For a lot
yeah.
of stuff. But where I'm going with this in reference to this committee in breast cancer is that one is the exposure to the SV40
mm-hmm.
virus, but the same time is the materials that they're using now for antimicrobial agents are also using DNA vectored particulate, which is meaning that they, instead of making just a bacteriophage where they use E. coli, they can use the capsid, which is the head of the Epstein-Barr virus or any of these other viruses, and add these other materials in to kill the pathogenic organisms.
Right.
In other words, the threat of it, meaning because anything foreign in your body, as you and I well know over the years with just regular breast implants and the rupture, meaning that foreign substance, the body is trying to get out, and it will encapsulate it or it will compartmentize.
Yeah, it tries to localize it in the lymph nodes, but
right.
unfortunately the macrophages eat it up, and then they go everywhere, and it's toxic to them, so they break open, and that's where all the inflammatory stuff comes from.
Right.
The inflammatory intermediates are in the macrophages.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to share with the audience, meaning both Dr. Cobb and I got our, well, she is a plastic surgeon and removes ruptured implants, but at the same time we started out not knowing each other, but in reference to ruptured silicone breast implants and the toxicity of the silicone.
Mm-hmm.
And those original silicones at that time was where it would be grease or other types of pharmaceutical grade quote unquote silicone.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that, and this is where I'd like to bring to the audience the difference between nanotechnology versus hazardous materials that's in the same category as biochemical composition. Meaning silicones of that original nature, they would evaporate a little bit, meaning they would shrink a little bit. They would not dehydrate, okay, and go to a flat surface or to a dust material, versus the nanomaterials, when they are taking out of a source of water where they become hydrated and use the fresh water between your cells to replicate themselves, they tend to, when they're out of the body, you can put it on a surface and you can see it actually dehydrate into its original structure, which is, to me, very interesting because then it makes it harder to get a sample.
Right, right, it does.
You know.
Well, I've been suspecting that there is a combination effect, which I'd like to just present and see your ideas on, that whatever's going on, there's something, there's an interaction between, say, something in the vaccines, something in the chemtrails, something in the GMO foods that is going to activate together
correct.
To create
and,
another you know,
correct.
Outcome, so to speak.
And also with all security systems that are done in major cities or around cities where it's integrated for different, you know, for our protection of our country
right.
and local cities, there's also the effect of, I'm going to call it in the category of EMF, but it might be microwave, it might be in the various different categories of audio or low frequency versus even megahertz, which would be high frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, with that, meaning one is you have, say, heavy metal poisoning from mercury or any lead or anything like
right.
that. It's a bigger molecule than the nanotized particulate, which is made of a, has a metal comp, you know, transitional metal, whatever it may be. But the thing is that the smaller particles they are, just as we know that glitter, if we put a speaker near it, turn around, it's going to be bouncing all over the place versus a penny is not going to bounce until you get a higher frequency on it. Okay?
Right.
Meaning, you know, to make it move. And that's what I'm trying to express to our audience, that with this vibration of smaller particulate or even hardened plastic within the body, as probably your patients have experienced, that when they get to an electromagnetic field of any type of nature, it affects them more than even a chemical sensitive. And a chemical sensitive has more, which is the materials that they were originally offended by, whether
right.
it was malathion, plastic, who knows, it could have been flowers.
Pesticides, you know.
Yeah, pesticides,
yeah.
any
yeah.
of this stuff. Too much acetone when they were doing their nails, you know,
right.
in the bathroom
right.
because it's a
right.
confined space.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what I'm saying is that those materials, we have white blood cells and we have cells that have sensors, and these sensors come up just like a periscope, and they're called receivers and senders. And in this, the material clogs up around it like a dirty drain, and if they do not get it uncalcified and off, you have the upregulation of continual hypersensitivity, which is what these experience in chemical sensitivity. If you're able to get that off, and that's only, audience, on the outside of the membrane. If it leaches through and goes into whatever this foreign substance may be, go into the membrane and interact with the organelles or the cellular gates that open up for the absorption or taking out the toxins from the cells internally, that's a whole other mechanistic problem that occurs.
Yeah.
And that's where physicians like yourself would monitor G protein for the buildup of, like, I call it like pancake batter on the outside. And C reactive protein, which is on the inside. That means that whatever the foreign substance is, it went into it and you're like allergic on the cellular membrane.
Right.
And then in the middle of that mainstream is the S reactive protein, because it's not going that way, it's stuck in the membrane. And the ones that have the effects, which 20 years ago on the equator, there was no effect of multiple sclerosis at all. And it was because of the Hispanic lineage and the aboriginals of that area. They had thicker membranes than Caucasians, okay, than Asians and blacks. These thicker membranes were probably based on the thickest membrane, which is from the Basque bloodlines out of Spain. And the thing is, the stuff gets stuck in it. So if you get stuck in it, what is the first enzyme that's supposed to protect you when you have something stuck in that membrane? Is what is common now. I did a paper of it years ago when I was first American to ask to be for the Korean Medical Association in 2005, was superoxide dismutase. And there's six different types. And what interacts with that is zinc and copper. Zinc and copper have a positive, copper has a little bit more, but it has a positive two charge. So any chemical would interact. Common chemical, lead, plus two, plus five. Who's going to win? The one with the larger number. Doesn't matter if it's negative or positive. You know, the valence charge. Valence is the hardest to break, you know, in chemical reactions. Viruses and bacteria, even though we know they're very toxic because they can get, especially viruses, interact with our internal nucleus and can cause replication that way, but they can be broken by a physical shaking, you know, like on vibrational or any of that. But now, once it gets, that toxin gets into the cell, it in, it can be a toxin or a sensor that's being developed in nanotechnology, like the Sensyl or any of that, and it gets into the mitochondria. The mitochondria is so small, meaning, you know, it's like you had to have a good imagination when you were looking at it under the microscope when you're in school. Otherwise, if you drew it too well, your teacher would say, where's the electron microscope, okay? And you didn't have it in high school. But the thing is that inside of that mitochondria, which controls the amount of energy, everybody thinks is energy, but it also regulates the amount of photons, and you need 15 photons in that endoplasmic reticulum, which is inside that mitochondria, with the enzymes of P450, cytochrome P450, or any of these other names of those enzymes, like 53, et cetera, to make it go around that one whole thing. It's like a Slinky in there.
Right.
And the thing is that if you don't have enough, it's not going to go.
Now, yeah, and that's why we have so many energy diseases now.
Right. You have so many energy diseases. It's clogged up. At the same time, our cell, every cell in your body, fresh water on the outside, inside saline, excuse me, saline. I've got saline on the brain. But saline, and why is that? Dr. Cobbin, you know it is because of infection. In other words, salt solution has been the oldest remedy for treating infections. That's why everyone used to get very healthy when they go to the beach or anything.
Yeah, before the contamination of the ocean.
But the bottom line is what we're breathing in the air, what we're in our food, et cetera, this way. Because it's just too much. Your body can't recuperate fast enough as it's trying to get it off. I did a big criteria document for EA, and NRAP was publishing it, but the thing is, it was all on modified food starch.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize that you've got modified food starch. It's half cellulose, which is plant material, mixed with waterborne polyurethane.
Oh, my goodness.
Styrene.
Well, I'm allergic to polyurethane. I know that.
Yeah. So, I mean, styrene, since when do we like to eat styrofoam cups?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and
you can get allergic. I mean, you can get rashes with that stuff.
Right.
And everybody gets exposed to it. It's impossible.
Right.
Unless you live on an island that has no human contact, not to have styrene in you.
Right. And then, but it's in the food. I had a colleague of mine got so excited because they saw Parmesan cheese for $1. You know, it was a special.
Yeah, right.
And he ran up there and he was going to buy it. He was going to buy a lot of it, you know.
Yeah.
And turned around and he remembered that modified food starch and he looked at it and he goes, oh my God, it's all modified food starch.
Right.
So it's
right.
called plastic with the flavor.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
And we're getting bombarded by this continuously.
So along with the fructose corn syrup, which we also need to avoid, we need to look at modified food starch. And what else do we need to look at on the food labels? Is there anything? I know that the nanotech so that you can't, you know.
Yeah, I would, a
earlier,
food label, I would look.
It.
Yeah, food label, they're not labeling it. I mean, the hydrogels or any of those types.
Right. Right.
Which is the silicone with any of the what do you call it? Not trademark. Any of those things like dimethicone.
Oh yeah.
That is big time. And
that's
you know,
a lot of skincare products too.
Yeah, and in the beginning of your show, you mentioned you know the combined reactions. Look, if we got a skin lotion or a cream that's got dimethicone, which what is it supposed to do? Seal in by coating your skin with silicone.
Right.
Okay.
To hydrate it more.
Right. To hydrate it, but is it really hydrating? Okay, because you're accumulating this because the skin will absorb anything on its surface. I don't care if it's dirt. In 25 seconds into the circulatory system, except for olive oil and DMSO, it's 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got an accumulation. Then you end up getting the modified food starch, your styrene, okay? Then you get the high fructose corn syrup, which is your glycoprotein. Our nerves are made of a coating called the myelin sheath that is a glycoprotein. But our body always thinks food survival. If I can't handle it, I'm going to encapsulate it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to compartmentize and I'm going to put it between those muscles or anything.
Right.
But I never know if I'm not going to eat in the future.
Right.
And turn around, when you get this combination, then you get your exposure to chlorine, you went in the swimming pool or any of this.
Mm-hmm.
These are all having reactions. It's like when I first got involved with the nano after observing a lot of the Morgellon cases, the thing is I had the very good pleasure of meeting a wonderful respiratory therapist, Alan Barron, and he taught me how to do, I call it the soap test, the Alan Barron method.
Mm-hmm.
And we put and one of your patients, which did not have Morgellons, but you referred to me, had this, meaning we put the soap on, which was the fungi soap, and then we put another alcohol-based soap, and it had to be specifically those manufacturers. Anyway, we put it on, and this pink material would come out, and it wasn't from the soap. I ended up having the soap analyzed and this third compound, and it was silicone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was where it would make, like, silicone nano tubes, meaning it had, like, lips. And that's the unique thing with silicone. It always spheres up and makes this lip-like appearance. But the interesting thing is, I took then as you cleaned up and did another layer, because you can only use like twice or three times in the area with this alcohol soap because it's alcohol, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the thing is, the next thing that came out was this white material, which I believe now to be the styrene material, the waterborne polyurethane.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what I'm trying to say is it's coating. Then the next is when we took one of your patients that you referred to me to see, the thing, I mean, this was standard breast implant removal case, okay?
Bunch of silicone in the body everywhere.
Right, right. She rubbed it on her chest, mm-hmm. meaning the soaps, and it came out. That silicone, I then took that and compared it to a advanced nanomaterial, meaning it was same chemical composition, but the structure, meaning the one that was in the implant, it did not dehydrate, okay, versus the other one dehydrate. Yeah, it wasn't nanotized.
Yeah. And so where do you get the information about the soap test?
Oh, I told you, I got it from an individual that came to see me in the very beginning when I was at the Marine. That was Alan Barron, and we used. Can I say the names of the soap?
No. Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I used a drop of a fungus soap that's made by Petifex, and then Endure 300. By SIVA, which is made up of 70% ethanol.
Uh-huh.
And it, only that gel soap works, okay? And it's the chemical. See, what happens is the fungus soap has tea tree oil in it, which can be toxic in itself, you know, when you're using it a lot.
Yeah.
But the thing is that it goes in, that aromatic compound adheres to the silicone.
Yeah.
Then when the alcohol is put in, it's a chemical reaction between those three molecules, and it pushes out. I'm amazed at how it pushes out of these people's bodies,
mm-hmm.
and there's, like, no blood, no nothing. I mean, it just comes right out of the pores.
Well,
like if I was...
I've got a number of patients that just have silicone everywhere in their face, and of course they have these lesions where it comes out. But I would much prefer to get it out without breaking the skin and bleeding.
Oh yes, meaning it makes
fungal infections. And,
yeah. What I'll do, on Monday I'll send you a set of this material so you can see it. But Alan used to always say, he was always amazed at the accumulations in the joints. And see, with nanomaterials, it needs, when it's self-replicating, used in biomaterials or testing or however it may be used, it needs amino acids to rebuild itself from.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's designed to use certain amino acids.
Mm-hmm.
And like the dragon protein uses four amino acids, isoleucine, leucine, and... argonine.
So can that cause a depletion?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And this was, when I do all our tests over here with the physicians that refer these patients to me, there are 10 or more. There's 22 amino acids in, I'm a Leninger's girl, meaning that's usually the sign date you in the time when you had it. I'm a Morrison and Boyd, too, chemistry.
I knew Leninger at Hopkins, by the way.
Okay, well, see, but what I'm saying is, when you go to these books, you and also the newer books, you know that there's only a certain number. I'm amazed that there's listed, like in some of these labs that do the analysis, which is standard, 24 and 26 enzymes.
Mm-hmm.
These are enzymes which are for other compounds, meaning which is found in animals, and that, yes, you might be eating animal synthetic something, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a measurement, like hydroproline and all that, meaning it's not normal in the body. But they are 10 or more, so they can't make their collagen. They can't make their connective tissue because they're deficient, and they're wasting away internally. And
yeah, they also get disc disease and all these bursitises and all these clinical, that causes certain clinical things.
Yes, definitely. And once they start to get in a regimen of getting the amino acids back into their body, sometimes they need IVs of these materials.
Yeah.
because
true.
They're so deficient.
Well, and their gut doesn't. Their gut's not working properly too. As
correct.
You know, when
correct.
Sick.
And
yeah.
And listen. We all know that a majority, well, all of these patients have like a plastic film in their intestinal colon,
mm-hmm,
which
right.
is 22 feet. And until you can get some method, I've been highly successful with that happy tummy, to break it up so that
mm-hmm.
membrane comes out so that the body can dump the other, because the body can't move it if it's clogged up.
Right, right.
Period. And you take a plastic bag and put it over your head. What's going to happen? You're going to die.
You're going to die.
Okay? So think of what's going to happen to your natural
yeah.
flora in your
right.
intestinal colon. It's
right.
croak-a-rood. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
And the thing is that in this whole aspect, what are you doing to reseed it?
Mm-hmm.
Some of these individuals, you know, they're on the journey not only of getting well in health, but
mm-hmm.
some of them have never even taken a vitamin outside of what they've eaten,
mm-hmm.
you know, in their
yeah.
life. So they're on also a multiple journey, as I call it, to learn about health and learn about
yeah.
Nutrition and everything.
Sure.
And it's phenomenal. They make beautiful strides and
mm-hmm.
change around. It's amazing what 3 months can do, because people don't remember from our sixth grade little biology class of anatomy that you have new blood in 7 days. You have
right.
new tissue 0 to 3 months. I'm talking soft
mm-hmm.
organ tissue.
Right.
You have cartilage and bone in 3 to 6 months. That's if everything is healthy, everything is going well. But if you have a disease that is taking out your nutrients
mm-hmm.
or suffocating yourself because you can't have oxygen to
mm-hmm.
the organelles that you need, you have other complications. And those whole, not only of the physical poisoning, as
mm-hmm.
we've seen with chemical sensitivity or anything
mm-hmm.
where they have problems with audience, what they call in the liver, there's like 7 lobes and they have different portions, phase 1, phase 2, now they're coming up with phase 3, metabolism,
mm-hmm.
and it's metabolism, how you can take a toxin in, filter it off, make it less toxic so that it can be by particle size go into the intestine to make solid waste, or go into the kidney to make liquid waste.
Right.
And in the kidney, there is subfiltrations, which we call nephrons, and if the particle is stuck there due to charge or whatever it may be,
mm-hmm.
or like this nano, stuck in it because it's like glue,
right.
Turn around, what happens is the kidney mm-hmm. can balloon, and it's what they call polycystic kidney disease.
Right.
And if you have a history of those types of diseases, it makes it extremely hard for you to detox as compared
mm-hmm.
to a person without it. And
one of the ways that people can tell that they're clogged up is that they start getting rashes, because the skin is the third organ of detoxification. And when you start getting a bunch of rashes, then you know you're probably, your liver and your kidneys are probably not functioning.
Correct. Correct. And there is so many toxins that we've been exposed to as children, whether it's the arsenic in the playgrounds, the
mm-hmm.
DDTs, spraying. Out here in California, they got a new thing. They're trying to eradicate the aphid out here, okay?
Uh-huh.
And so they will spray your yard and everything, but you got to move your barbecues and everything free of charge.
Hmm.
But it's amazing how they can get sprayed or anything without you knowing it if you didn't read that
oh, yeah.
little notice on
yeah.
your door, you know? But
yeah.
what I'm saying is that could happen when you're at work and you don't even know you've been sprayed.
What? That's true. That's true.
And that's ground spraying versus aerial spraying, you know,
yeah.
that occurs a lot now at night.
Well, I wanted to mention something that happened to me in Atlanta. I was out. It was actually at night, which was weird. And I think I was walking to the mailbox, or between the car and the mailbox, and something hit me on my lower eyelid. And when I went in, it was a gooey-like substance, tiny, you know, not big. I took it off, but it was real sore right where it had hit me. And then within hours, I had a massively aggressive infection that infected my eye, and then my eyelid, and then my eye. And I was just messing around on the computer because I treated it. You know, I took my
mm-hmm.
contact out and
mm-hmm.
treated it and took antibiotics and took eye drops and you know, I'm a doctor, so I can figure out these things.
Right, right. You know what to do.
Yeah, but I have to do it very quickly. But it was bad infection nonetheless. And so I go online, and you know what I see on these blogs?
What?
Other people having the same thing, getting hit with this gooey-like substance and then massive infection right after.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
Well, I know that there's called ocular vaccines and also ocular sensors, and it is happening even out here. I had an individual in my office yesterday that had a similar situation. And the thing is, I would go the next step, because I did a paper for NREP in reference to which we call the the Eye of Horus effect, because it matched the ancient Egyptian mathematical configurations for medicine, okay,
mm-hmm.
which they recognized. And as a matter of fact, those papyrus is here in LA at the Philosophical Society. The thing is, what I was observing after the spraying of the brown moth was a fluorescent dye, which was fluorescein isothiocyanate, highlighter yellow, that you only got if you went to the ophthalmologist to get a glaucoma test,
mm-hmm.
or you had cataract surgery.
Right.
Because I don't think too many people in our society are taking highlighter, you know, and coloring it in. I saw
probably
a special
not.
Of what they're doing in tattoos of the eyes in prisons, but that's a whole different thing, you
probably,
know?
Yeah, really.
No way.
And probably
but,
limited to the prisons.
Yeah.
Where they're really bored.
Yeah, but what, and God bless them. But the thing is that this...
Okay.
I'll just finish and we'll take that call. That it made a dot, and then it makes a whole straight line, like a line through, like a null sign, but on the eye, and then it expands. And I feel that that's some type of delivery system that is evaluating the olfactory senses. And
mm-hmm.
at the same time, the cochlear, because you can add different antigens to those, like the KD proteins,
mm-hmm.
and turn around, see a lot happen that way.
Hmm.
So look in a black light, get a black light at
mm-hmm.
your local store, go
oh,
in the bathroom,
one.
And see mm-hmm. if you got a dye in it, because it will
I
show
will.
Bright yellow.
Bright yellow?
Bright yellow.
I will. Yeah, you know, we were using those lights, like Woods lamp lights for...
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's a question if somebody had Morgellons or not, you could use that in a dark.
Oh, definitely, and I still use
that's
it.
That's why I have one, because I.
Yeah.
Because you know, sometimes you don't know. There are some things that Morgellons doesn't always present in the same way in everybody.
Yeah, but the whole thing is everyone's looking for the cure, the cause, you know, which I've said and studied to my deathbed,
mm-hmm.
which is that it's exposure to advanced nanomaterials.
Oh,
The
no
thing
doubt.
Is, with those fluorescents,
yeah.
and this is what I did, Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer and I, Edward
right.
Spencer, he
mm-hmm.
and I counted on one patient, which a lot of people have seen her pictures, Dora, turn around, 110 fluorescent hearts.
My goodness.
Hot pink.
And you told me about the nano alphabet that you found, too.
Yes, yes.
Which
and that's thin film now.
Yeah,
you know.
It was patented by someone here in Atlanta.
Yeah,
I will say
for investment purposes, all the evidence goes into patent. I tell
it really
you,
does.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Now the question is, after patent, who licensed it? You know?
Right. Yeah.
And so it's nice that
how the hell did it get out is what I want to know.
Well, that's it, especially before the press release.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like when we identified what they call the golden head,
mm-hmm.
that really is a nanowarm, and in the press
mm-hmm.
release it was in 2007, we identified it in the summer, fall of 2006.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm just amazed.
Well,
you know?
It is really amazing, and so it's one of two things. Either we have a containment problem, which could be, it's a new technology. I mean, we don't know the exact, I mean, obviously the methods used at Fort Detrick and other military facilities are probably not being used at Georgia Tech. But,
right, they go right down to the drain, you know, in,
yeah, exactly,
even in Caltech or any of those.
But, you know,
things.
You're talking about people that, well, who knows? I mean, you'd have, that's
yeah,
a
who
whole,
knows?
That's a whole epidemiology question. But, you know, but what I'd like to know is, ooh, man. That was lightning. That was we're having really bad thunderstorms here in Atlanta. But anyway, what I'd like to know is what else is being done with this technology that we may not know about. I was in the military, and I learned about smart dust, as I'm sure anybody who wants to go on the internet can learn about it. But the uses of this technology stem quite far back. I mean, it's not just in 2007.
No, 1937, back during the times of Nazi Germany.
Would you want to take this call, and then we can go back to interests?
Well, I am just floored by everything I've been listening to, and I would think that the doctor must be going against some pretty gigantic corporate subsidiaries, I would think, adversaries. I mean, obviously, a lot of people are going to have a hard time believing this, and I'm just amazed that she has the courage to put this information out there for us, and I just want to thank her for that. But my question is, how can we fight back, and how can we help you, Dr. Stanninger? Do you have a foundation we can contribute to or anything like that?
Yes, I'm affiliated with two foundations, the Hildegard Stanninger Foundation, which handles for the analytical side, and then the Stanninger Center that we're looking to help individuals that cannot pay for assistance in getting far infrared therapy, radiant heat.
Oh, so if somebody, how is the best way for people to help you personally?
I think just a look at the websites, like in Dr. Cobb has it on her show presentation, which is Hildegard-Stanninger.com, and it has the links up to those areas.
And is there anybody that we should write to and protest to? What can we do?
There's a lot of people, not only professionals like Dr. Kalb and I and others, Dr. Spencer and that, you know, have dedicated not only time and everything, but we're all affected too, meaning we don't want this here for our children or anyone. All of us are trying to work hard, together. But, I don't know. I know in the beginning a lot of things were turned over to different groups or different committees. Hopefully someone is studying it and someone is doing something, you know.
You can research online. There's a white paper that was put out about the steps that should have been taken. I don't believe they were, but should have been taken before nanotechnology was released. And that was, I think the white paper was, at least the government was somehow involved in the white paper. I read that.
Well,
and the other thing
thank
is...
Thank you so much for your bravery and for just putting it out there for us, because, boy, we sure need to know.
Great.
Thank you.
Well, thanks for
thank
your call.
You, thank you.
Thank you.
I also wanted to mention to people, I've interviewed Jeffrey Smith on multiple occasions, and there's a website called responsibletechnology.org that can help you with your day-to-day decisions to avoid GMO foods. And GMO is a part of this... this
definitely
combination. And I want to emphasize again that I think it's a combination that is important. I think that there's something with the combination that we will see later on
that will
become clear. And including the frequencies. I think the frequencies are very important to include. The smart dust, if you research that, is actually activated by the frequencies. And that is Jesse Ventura's first conspiracy theory was on that when he looked at HARP. And so if anybody's not seen Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theories, I think he has one on 9-1-1, one on HARP, one on the CIA, one on 2012, which I found fascinating. But anyway, it's just information I think people need to know.
Right. And the people that have a need to know, they will levitate to those areas to read it. And I know with individuals that have been exposed to directed energy, you know, or docked or any of those.
Mm-hmm.
The state of Missouri, Representative James Guest has taken a very active role in trying to get it documented, proof of being exposed to those types of technology,
right.
And also have written letters to doctors telling them that this is not a hoax or anything, to get it out of this person if it can be taken out.
Right.
So
right.
Those situations, depends on the technology, is older that sometimes you can't surgically get it out without destroying a main nerve or a main muscle or something.
True. Well, one other thing I wanted to ask, because a lot of my patients, my Mogollon's patients have this, as I'm sure your patients do, or your clients do, is there is something going on in the gut with nanotechnology. Now, you mentioned earlier that Happy Tummy was very effective with the silicone.
Oh.
But it's, you know, is it still recommended for the nanotech?
Oh, well, the nanotech is part of that.
Okay.
Meaning, in other words, it is, however you got it, whether it was from your food, you know, meaning, you know, commercial foods or
right.
whatever, or it was from the air, there is a delivery system, okay? And the thing is, do it like a jawbreaker, meaning a coating.
Okay.
First coating can be like the glycoproteins, you know, meaning, or the starches that we're seeing. Then it goes into the silicones. Then it goes into what's inside of that is the DNA plasmids or any of this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where it opens up, connects, and releases. And then as you may be totally dormant or anything, but then at the same time get exposed by an aerial or frequency, and then it starts to do thin film, layer upon layer. Now, in the gut, meaning it's standard getting, whether it's colonics, colon cleansers, or anything, to get that gut
stuff
to flush out. And sometimes it means you have a deep abdominal massage in that area to help loosen it up, vibration, like with the Body Rex or any of these things, or even, you know, like those hand massagers that you can put on the stomach area just to help break it up, you know, not do damage with the vibration that you're going to shake to death, but meaning do it appropriately. And then the other is always reseeding it. It can be as reseeded as being goat's kefirs or any of this. Try to get back to the natural ethnic foods that you may have grown up with or anything.
Greek yogurt and that kind of thing.
Correct. Because, see, a lot, if you look at some of the labels as we open this show with, no matter, even some of these yogurts have modified food starch.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah,
look at the label.
Last summer, and I wish to God I saved the can, a beverage, which was a carbonated soda, and it had on it modified food starch. And I'm going, since when do they put that in soda?
Really?
You know, this was last summer, though, you know, where I wasn't thinking of the document or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it was amazing when you start to look at the combinations of what we're exposed to.
So essentially, I mean, we know that everybody has their gut affected. I mean, no matter what they're having, whether they're having chemical sensitivity, silicone. And I did want to mention, because we haven't brought it up yet, that you were the first person to find that the high density polyethylene and the silicone spray on the viral phage around lunch meat. Would you like to just mention that for our listening audience?
Because
we didn't mention that yet.
Yeah. This was several years ago. They were looking at new ways to protect your lunch meat, you know, after all those outbreaks of those different bacterial infections and stuff.
Yeah, like listeria.
Yeah, listeria and all that. And what they did was make what would be now bacteriophages, but we're thinking, meaning the public's thinking, okay, it's E. coli taking out the organelles or mycoplasma, whatever it is. But no, it was also synthetic organism bacteria.
Right.
And that's a whole other thing. When we talk synthetic, we talk that there's a plastic base. and it, you know, functions like a bacteria. Mm-hmm. They're even taking and this goes back even to our mutual patients or anything. Some of them say, well, I got exposed by the clothing. I feel when I put it on, I feel this electrical, like a burn or, you know, like it went into me. And this materials, that goes back to the silanes, if they're coated with it, because they're now mm-hmm. looking at all this antimicrobial. They're taking sheets of that modified food starch with styrene in it, and mm-hmm. possibly you can add, you know, antibacterial agents or whatever, as sheets of paper, mixing it with ground beef and making it like it's marbleized.
Mm-hmm.
But it's plastic.
Yeah.
Your beef. What do you do in your home? You take that plastic thing out,
right.
You know, but you can in this, you know, in this thing, and we don't know. We also, you mentioned at the beginning, you know, about DNA, and we talked a little bit about vaccines, but some of the meat now, you know, a lot of us use free-range chickens, et cetera, this
mm-hmm.
way, because we know we don't want to be exposed to the antibiotics, et cetera, this way, but all these commercial meats and that get injected. You know, or fed an antibiotic or
mm-hmm.
A pesticide so they don't get flies or anything, you know, in their feed, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But in Europe, they started a whole vaccine program using DNA viral vaccines.
Great.
Which is a whole other thing. So
yeah.
It's like, you know, you could have that.
You might want to stay away from meat.
Yeah, inject it, you know, in it, and then you get it, and then, you know, I'm a strong component of juice, by juicing,
mm-hmm.
you know,
get a non-expensive
juicer, as long as it's got a wide mouth at the end,
mm-hmm.
so that you can stuff those vegetables down and cleanse and start getting those old recipes out, because that's the fastest
mm-hmm.
to get nutrients into the gut.
So when I had 5 patients that were eating lunch meat every day and also had silicone throughout their body because they had ruptured implants, they developed Morgellons disease.
Correct, I remember that.
And
yep.
that was our first. I think we were introduced about then because you came out with a paper on it, and I said, well, that's the reason. And
mm-hmm.
so the fibers were found to have high density polyethylene and silicone, and then you explored further and found the nanotech link.
Aspect, yes.
Yeah,
and it
right.
was designed, meaning a silicone head with, they said ammonia, but it was ammonium,
mm-hmm.
NH4, and a 2-part polyester resin. And those samples were what we split with Woods Hole and
mm-hmm.
Lambda through Applied Consumer. It
yeah.
was a very good study.
So
on a shoestring budget. It was very good. And still to
yeah, really.
A shoestring. I'm amazed at what we could do with a shoestring, you know?
Well, you know, it was supposed to come out, and so you got some help.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. We sure did. We sure did.
Spiritual help. And that's the other thing
help.
I want to mention. You know, what Dr. Staninger and I have in common is that we have spiritual protection. And I want to emphasize to the listeners that, you know, one of the reasons that there are watchdogs out there. Not that we're trying to overthrow the government. Not that we're trying to, you know, go against organized medicine. We're not. We're very much part of the government. I was in the military for God knows 13 years. You know,
yeah.
I'm sure you worked with the government and you still do.
Yeah, relatives were military.
Exactly. So it's not that we're, you know, promoting conspiracy theories and trying to upset people. What we're trying to do is take problems that we see every day in our patients, find out what they really are, because we're actually able to investigate a little bit better through something we call intuition. You know, we're educated, yes, but we also have something called intuition. And intuition leads us down paths where we find things that other people haven't found. And yes, sometimes it is dangerous, but we also have intuition that tells us, well, don't do that, or be careful here, or don't go outside now. And then that's called spiritual protection. And everyone I know, Dr. Garth Nicholson, even Dr. Spencer, I talked
mm-hmm.
to him extensively. All of the people involved in sort of not uncovering so much, but just finding out why their patients are ill, They right. do it through intuition and spiritual protection. And I gave a lecture the other day at the Theosophical Society on the value of spiritual protection and intuition, you know, because I know I wouldn't be alive now, and I imagine that you wouldn't either if you wasn't.
I definitely would not. So I want to tell our listeners, God, as far as I'm concerned.
That's right. So they also have this ability, and so that what they need to do is they need to access that through meditation, through spiritual practices, whatever, so it gets stronger. Because what my lecture said, and I've given it at Unity Church, a number of different areas, but basically what it says is there are dangers out there now. You can't just go to, you know, your local grocery store, pull something off the shelf, and know that it's not going to potentially interact with some of these other things. Maybe the vaccine you had last year, maybe something that's in the chemtrails, which of course the government still denies that they exist, the GMO foods, the frequencies. I interviewed Dr. Carlo, who, after doing about $20 million worth of research, found that cell phones actually do, and towers actually do, increase the risk of neuroepithelial malignancies. And of course, you know, his life was threatened as well. So, you know, there are very, very bright, spiritually protected people in all of these areas that are guided. And it's an internal guidance that not only brings them to the answer, it's an internal guidance that keeps them from being knocked off if the powers that be try anything. So, and we all have it in common. It's really hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I look at it, you know, God had his army.
That's right.
We might be talking on the
phone.
Well, the first time, and all of them are soldiers, no matter
they
who,
are. The first
who
time
they
I,
are.
The first time I interviewed Dr. Garth Nicholson, he said something about what we're going to talk after the break. And then all the phone lines at the radio station went down. Of course, the radio station said, but that's never happened. Yeah. And Dr. Nicholson says, well, it happens to him all the time. So at least now our lines didn't go down, so I guess. But that was many years ago. That was over 10 years ago. So.
Yeah, he's done a lot.
We have just a few more minutes. Would you like to give your contact information?
Yes. Contact information is Integrative Health Systems. Our phone number is 323-466-2599. www.onecellonelight.com. And also, for articles that are recent, Hildegard-Stanninger.com. And we have the Stanninger Report, which is getting updated with all the photomicrographs. Hopefully we'll have this completed through the summer, of all what we've identified, so it can help other scientists and physicians to identify it and allow to take bulk samples, you know, for analysis if they need that.
Well, we really do appreciate your work. Without you, I would not have nearly the understanding that I have of these problems.
And the new problem, and I want to share it, because when I was with OSHA, in my beginning of my this professional type of the career, I had to do my first paper, and it was on the toxicity of asbestos, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And now in some of the new dyes that are being used to look at, cancerous tumors, they're using a iron-doped, meaning on the ends of it, chrysotile, what they call synthetic asbestos. It's just because it's at a smaller size, okay? Chrysotile was always known to cause mesothelioma. If you have, like, the simian virus, which you could have gotten exposed to the polio as after reading.
We all did.
We all did. This book, Dr. Mary's Monkey. You turn around. It's 100% chance of getting mesothelioma, which is a tumor that grows the size of a grapefruit in your stomach lining. And remember, a great actor, Steve McQueen, died of mesothelioma. And back then, the debate was whether he was exposed to the race car mask with the asbestos or when he was in the Marines and spraying asbestos in, submarines.
Probably both.
Probably. But what the whole audience is, anyone who's ever worked with asbestos, you just need one fiber to create that disease. And now where that was at a certain micron, and now it's smaller, it's running a chance of getting into the organs. And where I'm going is I had a wonderful patient still have in Canada. She was in remission for breast cancer, et cetera. They did a contrast dye using this material, and now it came back.
Oh, my goodness.
Within a certain period of time. You know, I mean, very fast. And, you know, she's kept it at bay of alternative and will make the appropriate decision that she has to make. But what I'm saying is anything like that's accelerated. It used to be acrylonitrile, which we talked about in this two-part polyester. I call it one whiff of Jif, one smell of it. If you're in the presence of it and you smell it, it takes 16 parts per million, that concentration, for your olfactory bulb to smell it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
One part per million will give you cancer, but that's one exposure for 10 minutes. You won't get the cancer for 20 years.
My goodness.
So what I'm saying is that's the latency period, but now we're seeing it like anything, major fungicides years ago, 15 years ago, that had butyl isocyanate metabolite from like the Benamil days and all those other things for Benelate turn around. They, you know, if you have that in your body, it can add to the mix. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, we're out of time, unfortunately,
okay.
but we're going to get you back again because I know we've got more to talk about. You've been listening to Temple of Health Radio Show. Next week, we're going to talk with Dr. David Biro on the language of pain, finding words, compassion, and relief. Want to make sure people know about our Noetic Science meeting. Our guest will be Shirley Chambers, who runs the Kabbalah Center here, speaking about the fifth kingdom, a kingdom whose time has come. Go on our website for information about Noetic Science, which is held the third Thursday of every month. Again, thank you for joining us. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health.
I'm sick and tired of always feeling sick and tired, and I don't want to take a lot of prescription drugs to feel better. Isn't there a better way?
Millennium Healthcare offers natural solutions to your health problems. Millennium Healthcare is qualified healthcare professionals working with you to restore your health and wellness. Whether it's a caring physician, one of our natural providers, or our natural apothecary, Millennium Healthcare can help. For more information, call Millennium Healthcare at 770-390-0012. That's 770-390-0012.
Please join us every Saturday morning for Temple of Health Radio Show, brought to you by Plasticos and Millennium Healthcare. Our holistic medical practices in Atlanta are committed to community education. Our shows bring you national authors on topics of health alternatives, new scientific breakthroughs, and spiritual medicine.